And Jim Zazas, who I've known you for, I don't know, 20 years now probably. You have held so many different hats. So you're a great person to run through the mechanics of putting on a Warbirds air show. There's a lot of airplanes involved. There's pyrotechnics involved. There's a lot of people involved. How does this get put together?
It starts several months before the beginning of AirVenture. Various flight leaders will have a rough idea of who's going to be participating, and that will get the information to our air boss, who is Wayne Boggs. That gives him just a rough idea who to expect. Wayne Boggs, working with his team, David Rothenager, George Klein, Mark Brigham, they're the gentlemen, they're the actual air bosses. They're the ones that, that diagram the show, set up the show, the flight patterns, and who will be flying when, things like that. Prior to an actual show itself, any pilot who is qualified to fly in the show, he'll come and put his name on a sign-up list. And then, of course, you have certain insurance requirements, so you have proficiency, currency requirements. But anybody that has a Warbird here, he's allowed to participate, he or she is allowed to participate in the show. Then with that information, Wayne puts together, with his team, puts the show together. And we have our briefing. We have a one-hour briefing prior to the flying that we do, where everyone is thoroughly briefed on the conduct, the nature, how the show is to be flown, who's going to fly when, what to expect, who are going to follow, who are going to precede, things like that. In my role, working with Danny Klisham, who is the narrator, we bring the entertainment portion of the show. The pilots bring the noise, the sights, the sounds, the safety features, you know, everything that goes into what takes place in the air. Danny Klisham brings the voice to the show. My job is to work with Danny to spot for him. I'm another set of eyes. You know, it's very difficult for him to look who's coming from where, what direction. So he paces his show based on the information that I feed him. Essentially, it's a team effort. Everybody has a role to play, and everyone plays it very well. And we bring this organization together, these different roles together, to create a very safe, exciting, and very entertaining Warbirds of America show.
So now this pilot briefing building that's behind us here,
yes,
is the heart of it all, right? This is where these pilots get together, and Wayne Boggs, and they go through the safety aspects of the show. Now, how is it choreographed? What I mean to say is, out in Reno, there's actually an organized track. Do you have a similar thing here so that it makes it a little easier for the pilots to know where they're supposed to be, when, and how?
Somewhat similar to that. Wayne Boggs and his team will sit down, and they will look at the weather conditions, the prevailing winds. We're going to make the decision if we're going to launch aircraft to the south, if we're going to be launching aircraft to the west. They'll look at the weather patterns. We may be using both runways, and it's a very interesting feature of Oshkosh is that we have two very long runways that we can work with to launch aircraft and recover aircraft. So while we might be taking aircraft off on runway 27 to the west to assemble, we'll also be taking other aircraft, launching them to the south. Then everybody is assigned a specific area to hold until such time that they're brought in for their part of the air show. It might look like organized chaos, but everybody has a specific part. They're briefed very thoroughly on the airspeeds, altitudes, where they're going to be. And example, when the fighters have a certain area, they're limited to a certain altitude. The bombers that come across, the transports, have a specific altitude that they will fly in a racetrack pattern. Other aircraft, liaison aircraft, have a specific pattern. But we try to build a show that is historical, it's entertainment, but above all, it's safe.
Right, and historically it has been very, very safe. And for the spectators, it's very, very special. I really like the fact that when we start getting towards the end of the week, looking forward to those special shows that you guys
put on. Those special shows.
And yes. I think it's Friday and Saturday, right?
Yes. Friday and Saturday is when we have the pyrotechnics. And Rich Gibson and his team comes out and they bring everything out, and that's a very special day. And for the pilots,
to be able to semi tankers over there of gasoline setting up on the far side of the field.
We have, without a doubt, one of the best pyrotechnic show in the industry, and we're able to have it here at EAA or Venture. I don't think you'll find anywhere else that has a better pyrotechnic show for the warbirds flying.
You know, and the addition of the night air show really, really created an opportunity for you guys, because that night wall of fire is impressive.
Well, Rich Gibson and his team should receive credit for that.
So tell us a little bit about what our listeners can expect to see in the Warbird Show coming up.
Well, today, you know, most Warbird shows obviously will have a variety of fighters that we'll find. P-51 Mustangs, the fighter type T-28s. If we have other fighter type aircraft, like Spitfire, Hurricane, if they were on site, they would be participating in that type of show. We'll have today's several B-25s that will be flying in the show. We'll have several P-51s that will later be flying. I don't believe we have any transport scheduled. They will be scheduled on the big show on Friday. We'll have T-6s and S&Js, the training aircraft, well, liaison aircraft. And very possibly we'll have several T-34s and the Red Star, what we call the Red Star aircraft. These are the Nanchang CJ-6s and the Yak-type aircraft. And overall, with great selection, great variety of different aircraft from World War II, post-World War II.
Now, let's talk about some flying characteristics. You fly the P-51, the Mustang. I was over by my hangar this morning at about 11 o'clock, and they were recovering P-51s on runway 27. There was a heck of a crosswind blowing. How dicey is that in a Mustang to have a strong crosswind?
Okay, well, Jeff, I'll throw it back to you. You're a Luscombe pilot. You're a tailwheel pilot.
Yeah.
And the Mustang is a tailwheel aircraft. You fly the aircraft. It's not dicey, but you do fly the aircraft. You fly it for the conditions that you have. Now, you respect it. It's a numbers airplane. And if the winds are beyond the limits of the aircraft, or more importantly, beyond the limits of the pilot, go to a different runway, or if need be, go to a different airport where the winds are more advantageous. You're flying history. You're flying a prized possession that for the generations. Why put it at risk and put yourself at risk?
Well, no, sure. But it's got nice wide gear, right? But it's got a very critical prop, correct?
Well, the gear is wide, and that's the beautiful thing about the airplane, because it tracks very straight. Once all three wheels are down, it's going to track very straight and true. And then you're using rudder and, if need be, differential braking to assist in your directional control.
Does the 51 have a locking tailwheel?
Yes.
It does. So that helps, too.
Very much so. Very much so.
Now, the when you push the nose forward on takeoff roll on the P-51, you're limited as to how far, compared to other tailwheel airplanes, how far you can go because of that prop circumference, right?
Actually, my technique for the Mustang, and various individuals do likewise, I allow the tail to come up on its own. I'm guiding it. I like to think of the propeller on the Mustang as a very large gyroscope. So if you push forward on the stick, well, you're accelerating. If you're aggressive on that, it's going to be exciting.
You're creating work for yourself.
You're creating work for yourself. That's a very good way of putting it. I like to guide the tail up. And I will establish not a level attitude, but it's going to be just slightly tail low and allow the aircraft to accelerate. And I'm using whatever rudder is necessary to look straight down the runway. You're feeding a lot of right rudder in. But the airplane is honest. You know, you're a pilot with this aircraft. And it's a fighter of its day, but you're a pilot.
Well, there were a lot of young, much more inexperienced than guys who are flying the 51 nowadays. I mean, they threw kids into that after, what, they go to the T-6 and then move into the Mustang, right?
We have to remember that in World War II and in the Korean War, the individuals that flew the Mustang operationally, be it in combat, non-combat environment, and everyone says, well, they're just kids. But we have to remember that they lived breathed that airplane 24/7. That was their career. It was a part of them. So they were very, very current, very proficient with the aircraft.
Yeah, I believe is it tonight that Red Tails is playing over at the theater? And that's got some really good footage.
I'd like to bring Bill in for a moment. You know, I have experience in the Mustang, but I'd like to turn it over to a gentleman that has incredible experience in the P-51 and ask him to add his thoughts about the aircraft.
Oh, great.
No, I agree with everything you said. A lot of people do try to get the tail up a little quicker so they can see where they're going. But the ideal thing, if the wind's not too bad, is just let it come up itself. If you got a pretty good crosswind, you can hold the tail down, and it'll keep straight. But then you have to use aileron to keep it on the runway. But it's on landing. It's a pretty honest airplane, much more so than some of the others with a narrow gear. Spitfire, ME-109, are really, you talk about dicey. They're dicey. I know.
It gets challenging.
Yes. Sometimes they win.
Oh, no. Well, we don't want to go there. Anyway, let's move on. We're going to take a break. And Jim Zazas, thank you very much for running us through an air show and an operation of that.
Yep.
And a little bit about the flying the Mustang. I don't know a single pilot on the planet that's not in love with that airplane. It's, you know.
It is a dream come true.
It is a beautiful machine.